This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special carpaccio for you, right?
Yes. Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy New Year. When last we spoke, like not even 10 minutes ago, when last I spoke, I was talking about what a subject, you know it, you love it, speculating about wildcard weekend schedule. That's right. And maybe it's not always on your mind or even Sal's mind, although Sal likes to dabble in this area. Sal, I said job one with the schedule next weekend is to bury Carolina. Make them the new AFC South Invitational. It's now the NFC South Invitational. Saturday afternoon game. Although, what's different this year than most years is at least 3 West Coast teams will be traveling east to play. And the number one job here shouldn't be bury Carolina. If Carolina even wins that division, it should be, you know, fairness to whatever extent you can control that. And if the Chargers are going to, say, Foxborough, the Rams are going to Philadelphia, the San Francisco 49ers are going to Carolina or Tampa. I don't know. They got to be a little bit cognizant of the toll that that trip takes, I think.
Maybe. I think that's right. Now, it's one different time zone, but the Broncos came to Buffalo last year for a 1 o'clock game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably would think about it. I think the bigger thing that matters this year, I would think, but maybe not, is where the Week 18 schedule falls, which is Carolina and all the NFC South teams. It's all NFC, I should say, right?
Saturday.
So maybe that would matter into how they want to place everything the following weekend. So you have this year, Panthers and Buccaneers on Saturday, Seahawks and 49ers on Saturday. So you're probably, well, I guess you could still put either of them on Saturday. I guess for me, it's more about Pittsburgh and Baltimore playing Monday night, so they won't give them a Saturday. They won't give either of them a Saturday game. So that's kind of what I'm getting to, I guess, right?
I agree with that.
Or if they're playing Sunday night, excuse me. So I think that's probably the Monday night game. This year, so since 21, Mike, since they've had the Monday night game, it's always been the NFC 4-5 game. I think this year will be the AFC 4-5 game.
So do I.
Only because I think they'll have Pittsburgh or Baltimore coming off a Sunday night, play a Monday night.
Yep. The 4 teams that play this Saturday, that's 2 playoff teams for week 1 only. One will have the number 1 seed and not play next week.
That's right.
And the other will be out. And those 2 teams may very well play each other. So that's 1 game. San Francisco at Carolina, say, or Seattle, if it's Seattle. Not necessarily. Could be Seattle gets the 6th seed, but, you know, maybe. And Yeah, I think I'd want to put the Saturday teams on Saturday next week too.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Bills' chances in this? As early and, you know, maybe a little bit ridiculous as it is to speculate.
I think if the Bills play at Jacksonville, that's probably your AFC South Invitational. Like, it just screams like it should be and will be.
First game of the week.
Because, yeah, because the Texans are the other AFC South team, but they'll be on the road. Obviously, they have a chance to win the division. I think whoever wins that division is hosting Saturday in the early window. That's what I think. And then if it's Bills, Patriots, feels more like a Sunday game to me. Certainly could be Saturday night. But I feel like that's a Sunday game. Yeah, I think that you're still looking at Jacksonville or Houston hosting that 4:30 game. Now, I actually had a good talk about this in the media room today. We're having the same discussion. And someone said to me, well, don't you think Josh Allen could change that equation? Do you really want him on Saturday at 4:30 now that everybody knows who he is? Yeah, it certainly could. But there's enough star power, I think, to carry the weekend anyway.
Yep, that's the question I would ask, too. It's really about the home teams. And Houston would be that Monday night opponent if they got the 5. So that would take care of them. I like the Patriots 1 o'clock Sunday, no matter what. If that's the Chargers, it's still Sunday, and they have to play an early game. I think I would predict that. I'd put Green Bay Chicago Sunday 4:30 if that's the matchup. If it's Philadelphia, then I'd do the same thing. I think Green Bay plays, for me, they would, the 4:30 slot on Sunday. And then the night game would be the Eagles or the Bears against the Rams, I guess, or Seattle, whoever it is. I think that all works. One of the first four games of the weekend will be on Prime.
I think you're right. I can't remember which one.
I don't think it's announced.
And how the schedule works for the. There's so many TV partners now. I forget which TV has which network, which streaming service, device, app, whatever has each game this year. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's announced which game it would be yet.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe Saturday night would make sense. We'll see.
Last year, the Chargers and Texans did play in that AFC South Invitational. So the Chargers did travel, but it was a 4:30 start. So for them, it's just a 1:30 game. So I don't think that, for what you're saying is right, it's not a 1 o'clock game, but this year they could be in that 1 o'clock window on Sunday, which obviously matters. So, yes, these days they have more options. But, going back in years past, they've had West Coast teams play 1 o'clock games, in the playoffs in the East. So, it can happen. But they do have more options if they don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I just think the fact that you have three, I think it'll be three West Coast teams playing on the road next weekend. You can't accommodate everybody. Justin Herbert sitting this week, you can't blame the Chargers for that, I guess. He's got a broken hand. We talked about this on Monday a little bit. It might set up for other teams following suit. Maybe New England feels less incentive to go all out. Maybe the Bills do. Maybe even ultimately Jacksonville and Houston do. I think their games need to start first and then see what it looks like. But what an anticlimax, at least on the AFC side, if not also the NFC. Is there some structural flaw here to take note of, or is it just sort of how the dominoes fell?
It's really interesting you say this. I think this has kind of been the case the last couple of years where it hasn't been the juice as you thought it might be when the league said we're going to have more division games or have only division games in week 18. One of the things that's been rattling in my head today has been the next time I speak with Mike North next year is maybe to ask him if they would revisit that and say maybe just conference games, because it feels to me like there's not a lot of that going on now where, the two teams matching up. There are some, though. He would probably point to me. My guess would be, well, wait a minute, that's not true. Like, they have this great Sunday night game that's going to determine the AFC North. They have this great Saturday night game that's going to determine the NFC South. Saturday afternoon game, Saturday night game has a big stakes involved. So he would probably point to those. I just think that it feels like, as you said, it's a bit more anticlimactic because you don't have those right matchups. And when you pigeonhole yourself into only having three possible opponents for every team, in week 18, I think that can happen.
I have always felt that way about it. I don't know why. I guess maybe there's some illusion of fairness to it, or even maybe more than an illusion. But I never thought that we really needed that. For the final week 18 it is now. Like, I never felt like the league really needed that, restriction on the schedule, but I don't know. It's another one that people don't seem to complain about. It's just this year, we don't have any playoff spots up for grabs. And really, last week, it wasn't much of that either. You know, it's just kind of been interesting right. This year how well decided it was. All right, so to this week's game, Bills and Jets. Today was a walkthrough for the Bills. I always find that funny. They do the injury report after the walkthrough. Had they had an actual practice, this is what we think would have happened. Yep. I see Matt Prater was listed as a full participant in this walkthrough. Yeah. So I think it's probably safe to expect him back, right?
Yeah, I think that looks like the case, especially considering Sean McDermott's been kind of indicating that a little bit, and they have not signed another kicker after releasing Michael Badgley a couple of days ago. I mean, if there was really any question, they'd probably have another kicker. Now, it is week 18, and it doesn't really, quote-unquote, matter, right? The game standings, they're in so we can kind of parse that. But I guess if you really came down to Friday or Saturday and needed somebody, you could do that. But it feels like that's not the case. So I do think Matt Prater is trending towards him playing on Sunday.
Josh Allen listed as a DNP with the foot, one of six players. Not really any need to read into that, though, right? I mean, would you?
No, he's... In fact, the encouraging news today was both on Allen and Kincaid, where McDermott said both are doing better than last week. So Josh obviously played last week. He says he'll be fine. McDermott basically indicated he'll be fine. He's getting better with the foot. Dalton Kincaid, I thought it was really interesting when McDermott was asked about Kincaid today. He said he'd be limited. He was specifically asked, is he doing better? And he was kind of very quickly, emphatically to say yes. Like it was like a... It wasn't like, yeah, he's like, yep, he's getting better, and he's in a better spot than he was last week at the end of the week. And I think that's really encouraging. Honestly, I don't know if they'll still play, I don't know if they'll play him, and I don't think they should, to be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah,
like,
right.
let him rest another week. If he's really there, then, hey, you're going to need this guy in the playoffs. Like, that's really good news that he's getting to that, he's better now than he was last week, and he's trending up. So give him another week to be able to do that, and we'll see. As far as Josh is concerned, I really don't know what they're going to do as far as playing him. I mean, it's almost certain he's going to start because he has the starting streak that's intact. And even today he was asked about it and said that's important to him. So that's going to happen. The question is how quickly he gets out of the game. He does have the 40 touchdown streak that if they want to get him 40 touchdowns, I don't know how much he cares. They care. That's a lot of stuff. You know, McDermott talked a bit about this today. There's just so many things this week that they're trying to navigate through, and you have the injuries, you have where they are in the standings and the seeding, you have rest versus rust, what the offense didn't look like last week and getting them maybe back on track and feeling that, you know, they did a little bit of work there on what they need to do. And then you have the final game at Highmark Stadium, and that means a lot to the organization, the players. All of that is really interesting. So the way Sean said it was what his job is and what he thinks that it comes down to is, what is the best for us to improve this week as a football team? Like, what do we need to do to improve as a football team? Like, if you let all those other things creep in, then you're losing sight of that. And it's not an easy thing to do.
What would it be, in your opinion? What is an area of concern that they think they could meaningfully get better at against the Jets?
It's a good question. Health, I think, really. I think health is the number one thing to improve on. They have to improve on their health. They have to be better. They have to be healthier than they have been. If you wanted to get to something on the field, I would definitely say that the offense, I think, has to come out and maybe play faster, play better, start faster. Maybe that's something that they can come out and maybe they have Josh on the field and say, we're going down the field and scoring. And he's going to get his 40 and we're going to get him out of there because we want to start fast and show we can start the game faster than we have lately.
40 total touchdowns for Allen already. He has 25 passing and 14 rushing. Unbelievable, the rushing touchdowns every year. Care to try to guess the inactives, or is that unprofessional?
Not unprofessional. I ask my Twitter followers to do it sometimes.
You know,
I just think it's such a weird week. It's such a fun exercise sometimes. But the problem with this is you have, first of all, you're going to have 48 guys, which you're going to have. That means you're going to have seven inactives because you'll elevate two to give you 55. So there's 53 men. You elevate two, that gives you 55. You're going to have 48 active. As long as you have eight offensive linemen, you get 48 active. So you know eight offensive linemen. Right now they have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, only nine on the roster. So they'll have eight offensive linemen. That means one of them would most likely be inactive. But in this case, I wouldn't doubt if nine are active, to be honest with you, because they're going to want to get guys out of there. So that eats up one spot. I think the biggest issue is you need to elevate guys to be able to have extra players. Four guys are already out of elevations. Andre Jones Jr., Zion Logue, Baylen Spector, and Dane Jackson. They can't do that. And you have so many guys that are banged up that, to me, Mike, you have to start from there. You got to start from, okay, there's guys we don't want to play necessarily. There's guys we'd like to have sit. I don't know. Maybe that's your two older linebackers, Matt Milamo and Shaq Thompson. Maybe that's the case. But you're already without Bernard, and Baylen Spector has no elevations left. You need, if you want to do that, that's fine. But you have other guys around the roster like Kincaid or Daquan Jones or Jordan Poyer that they're dealing with injury. So it's more important for them to sit. That's why it's very tough for me to do.
Yeah. That list today, not including Allen, he'll play at least to start. But those other DNPs, I wonder if any of them does. Right?
Just I agree with you. I don't starters. Know.
Bernard,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
out.
Bosa, why risk Bosa? Reggie Gilliam was sick, by the way. He's on the list today, so I would think he would play. But Daquan Jones is in this boat. Jordan Poyer's in this boat. Give these guys an extra week to be ready, because I just think prioritizing health is the most important. Do you ever listen to Fitz and Andrew Whitworth?
I don't. Only on the Prime broadcasts together.
Okay, well, they have a podcast, and I don't really listen to it a lot. I don't see it a lot. But sometimes, you know, something will come up in my feed, and I'll see it. I happened to see something last night because it was the headline was something like why Andrew Whitworth says or Fitz says they say that the loss of the Eagles is a blessing in disguise for the Bills. And I'm like, okay, and I know people have said that because they can rest people. But really what happened was I really thought it was a fascinating some anecdotes from Andrew Whitworth about him recalling when he was on the Bengals and when he was on the Rams and the ways that they've played it where they either rested players or they played. And it's kind of gone both ways. And his biggest takeaway was, and he gave an example, like 1 year they played the Jets in week 18, okay? The Bengals did. And they basically sat everybody. But they told him, well, you're going to go out there, then you're going to, they didn't sit everybody. They played, but they pulled him out. But they kind of like, yeah, you're going to go out there. We're going to take you out at some point. And they kind of didn't know when they were coming out. A little wishy-washy. They did it. They lost the game. He said the next week, though, we just like the Jets they replayed them again the next week in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That's Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. And the Jets beat them. And he said that they just weren't ready to play. And he attributed the way they handled week 18 to that. And then he talked about in the Rams having two different scenarios, too. And they lost 1 year to the Falcons, which I forgot about. I guess I think it was a COVID year where he felt that they were rolling. They were rolling on offense and they sat. And then they just didn't have their rhythm that first week. Right. But his overall takeaway wasn't you got to play necessarily. It's at least have a clear direction and communicate it to the players of what you're doing and why you're doing it. Don't be wishy-washy and don't say, yeah, you know what? We're going to play some of you guys. At some point, we're going to take you out. It's we're resting you because we need you ready for next week. Let's go. Or we're going to play you. We got to go out there to fix this and this, and then we're good.
That Atlanta game was in 2017. I remember Al
Thank
Michaels.
You,
having that game at the Coliseum, and I was just in love. Like, his voice in the Coliseum, Falcons, Rams. And, yes, Atlanta did win that game. Here's one scenario I haven't given much thought to. Before I get to that, Bosa and Daquan Jones each accrue $250,000 if they get one sack in this game against Brady Cook. They might want to play. Would you let them if they did?
I think getting a sack is too tough to try. I mean, if they wanted to play a series or two, I would say a series or two, but you got to get out of there. Banking on a sack to get that, how long do you wait on that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's very tough. The Myles Garrett comment last week was really interesting, right, about the Steelers? Did you hear that?
That they cared more about denying him than winning?
Yeah. That's crazy, like, that he said that. And I know there's a bit of a rivalry there between him and, well, of course, the teams, but him and T.J. Watt, and all that. But yeah, he said they cared more about that. And I think when it comes to sacks, like, that's just so arbitrary sometimes when you can get those opportunities. You know, if for Josh for the 40 touchdowns, the Bills have they have more control over trying to do that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
The Bills can try to get Josh a touchdown by having him throw to the end zone. You put Bosa or Daquan Jones out there to get a sack. They have no control over what the play calls the Jets have.
No, I mean, it's different. You would also say this. It's different than the Myles Garrett one. I mean, I thought he was probably mostly talking about Rodgers. And I watched almost that entire game, yeah. And I saw the same thing. Like, anytime Myles Garrett would get one step, Rodgers is so well experienced, you know, he knows, he sees it and dumps it. And he had no time for Myles Garrett getting anywhere near him. He almost did once, and Rodgers would rather dump the play than risk a sack to Myles Garrett. I think that is probably fair. Well, we'll see. If there are 10 guys you want to sit and two of them want to play because they have $250,000 for one sack, maybe we get that.
I think Dawson Knox has like $100,000 for
three
six catches.
Yep.
And then $100,000 for 7 yards, maybe. So that's something you might want to do, you know?
And also a touchdown. He has three different ways of earning $100,000 each. Shakir has a couple. Maybe I'll get back to this. If Bosa had three sacks, that's $750. One more thing. Again, this scenario I haven't really given much thought to. This is not so far out of the realm, Sal. The 1 o'clock game Sunday, Jacksonville and Houston both play at 1. Jacksonville plays Tennessee. They get out 21-0. Houston sits.
Yep.
It's guys. And
I've thought about this a lot this week.
If they do that, the Bills have a path to the 5.
Yep.
A Houston 100%. Loss and a Jacksonville. Or the other way around. But the other way around, Jacksonville's not taking guys out because of what Houston's doing. The division is in their control. But other way around, I think Houston could end up pushing that button. And if they lose and Denver has to win and the Bills have to win, then you're the 5.
Yes. I brought this same scenario conversation today in the media room. We were talking.
Look at me. I'm basically just whipping out the discussion points from the media room today.
It's amazing.
Amazing. I wasn't even there.
No, you weren't. And you would have fit right in today. You would have loved it.
Oh,
I mean, we were down there and it was a walkthrough, so we don't get to go out and watch any of the practice. So we had extra time in there today. You know what I mean? So McDermott talked and we're sitting around and a lot of us were having lunch and we're talking and, you know, people are recounting their fantasy championships. You know what I mean?
I would have fit right in on that one.
There you go. Right. Yes. You would have fit right in. And then that came up and I brought that scenario up. Exactly what you said. I said, listen, it's entirely possible. Jacksonville has things in hand. Houston is scoreboard watching and goes, you know what? That's it. Let's get CJ out. Let's get Nico out. Let's get these guys out. And then, you know, suddenly Houston loses and the Chargers, they're resting everybody. They lose the Denver who's trying to win. Here come the Bills and they get the 5 seed and they're suddenly going to Pittsburgh or Baltimore.
Could happen. Well, I was not there. I'm never there for these media room discussions. And here are my two excuses today. One is I had Matthew Collar's podcast that I do every week. And two is I have a puzzle I'm obsessed with.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, boy.
Does that happen to you?
What is that? Yes, it does happen sometimes. What are you obsessed with?
I'm not like the... I love crosswords and sort of word puzzles, but I'm not the big jigsaw puzzle guy. My wife got the family this puzzle, though. I'll have to show you. I tweeted a picture of it last weekend. It's insane. Okay. It's a picture of dogs, but the pieces are all like shaped like dogs or just random like people. So it's not your classic crossword puzzle shaped pieces, and it's diabolical. Like, it's just, it's so hard trying to find. Some of these are like these big, narrow, curvy pieces, and then there's these other ones. One looks like a bike, like a bicycle, and I don't know. I'll send you a picture, but I
feels
love
like
it.
It's right up my. You and I are okay. Very much cut from the same cloth with things like this.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'll send it to you so you can see what it looks like. But the harder it is, the more interested I am. Whether that's crosswords or this or games, anything like I just. It's got to be challenging, and if it is, I'll spend like all my time on it.
Figuring out the NFL Week 1 wild card schedule.
Yes, that's right. As soon as we get through this week and we know next year's matchups, and we have to wait on the Super Bowl, but I'll be on to primetime Week 1 2026. So can't wait for that. Are the Bills guaranteed new stadium, whether they win the Super Bowl or not, to play at home at night? First game at night, even if it's Week 2.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. I think they're, yes. The NFL loves to highlight new stadiums, yes.
I think so, too. Thank you, Sal. Happy New Year.
All right, you too.
Extra, the EP with Sal Capaccio today. Extended play. His appearance is brought to you by, did I have to define extended play? Maybe not. His appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor, New York's only outlet liquor. Your place to buy a case, what's your outlet? Time out. I'll look for your calls next, whether it's the end of the stadium or the game itself or next week. 803-0550 for your calls. How long do you go on James Cook if he needs a certain, you know, decent number of yards to win the rushing title come 425 Sunday? I like that one. New Year's Day tomorrow. I won't be here. Bulldog and me back together on Friday. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.